life. Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that glitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
And good morning. It is 1 minute in front of 9 o'clock on your Thursday, KBOO Portland, your community radio station. In a half hour at 9:30, join us for Fight the Empire. Host Per Fogring speaks with Michael Clare about his article, There Will Be Chaos, Big Oil's Collapse and the Birth of a New World Order. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, an interview with activist Morning Star of the International Treaty Council on her concerns about Native Indian burial sites and ancient artifacts at the wildlife refuge outside Burns. Also, violence in Haiti in the wake of tainted elections and massive protests, and an update from Michigan on the water poisoning disaster. At 11, host David Naiman speaks with Keith Lee Morris about his novel Traveler's Rest, and at 11:40, it's a special Words and Pictures with the directors of the animated feature The Box Trolls, the third feature from Oregon animation studio Leica Entertainment. That's all coming up this morning right after Press Watch. It's news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell right after this.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 33rd Real Music Film Festival running through February 8th. Thursday, January 28th, will screen Landfill Harmonic. Landfill Harmonic follows the Recycled Orchestra of Keytora, a Paraguayan musical group that plays instruments made entirely out of garbage. When their story goes viral, the orchestra is suddenly catapulted into the global spotlight. This 2014 film has been described as a testament to the transformative power of music and the resilience of the human spirit. That's January 28th at 7 p.m. at the Northwest Film Center in the Witzel Auditorium at 1219 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on the films and more can be found at KBOO.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. What helped give you the tools to participate in the great anti-billionaire revolt of 2016? Well, I want to start with headline, cop apologizes for urging drivers to hit Black Lives Matter protesters. And I'm not going to read the cop's apology. This is a cop from St. Paul. And, I'll just read what he wrote. His name is J.M. Roth on the Facebook account. He posted, run them over, keep traffic flowing, and don't slow down for any of these idiots who try and block the street. Here's the deal. You continue to drive, and if you hit someone, make sure you call 911 to report the accident and meet the cops a block or two away, and you can justify stopping further away because you feared for your safety, since in the past, people in this group has shown a propensity towards violence. Since they are trying to block the street and or cross where there is no crossing, you should not be charged with anything. Now these idiots could try and sue you in civil court, but remember that it will be a jury trial, and so most likely it will come out in your favor. So here we have a police sergeant, St. Paul, Minnesota, urging homicide very specifically in detail, saying that people will be given amnesty by the cops. And he's very clear about it. So when you hear Black Lives Matter, please don't respond with All Lives Matter. Someone says All Lives Matter, say Black Lives Matter. Because it's about surviving, isn't it? Now, last week, I was talking about how the world's billionaires want to eliminate commonly held and government-held assets like land, and even radio frequencies like the one I'm broadcasting on right now, and community hospitals. The world's billionaires want to replace these using the TPP. That's what the TPP is about. That's why you hear so little about it. And isn't it interesting that the Yalcata Cowboys and the Malheur Nature Reserve are talking about the same thing, about how the government is holding land and it's just not fair, and they could be making a profit with mines and they could cut down all the timber. They're saying these things, and they go out there, and they're very interesting, not shot to rags like you and I would be if we took rifles and occupied federal facilities. Funny that. And the big question is, why aren't they being arrested? And as Joanne was just saying, why isn't the water being cut off? Why are they being coddled so carefully? Is it really about Waco? You know, I just really kind of doubt that. This is the same government that just shot a hospital with a AC-130 Spectre gunship lazily circling over a town in Afghanistan, over a hospital, and hosing the place down for half an hour until they were damn sure everyone was dead from their high-power, high-velocity, thousands of rounds per minute machine guns. And I don't believe that the government is worried about being proper and careful about human lives. There's something else going on, and I think you can get a hint from an article in the New York Times, which was referenced in Portland Indie Media. And I'm going to quote it. It's by Jack Healy and Kirk Johnson. Start off talking about Ken Ivory, a Republican state representative from Utah who's been roaming the West with an alluring pitch to cattle ranchers, farmers, and conservatives, upset with how Washington controls the wide-open public spaces out here. This land is your land, he says, and not the federal government's. And before I go further with this, this is code. He's talking to angry, half-educated white men. But return to the article. Mr. Ivory, very appropriate, huh? A business lawyer from suburban Salt Lake City, does not fit the profile of a sun-scoured sagebrush rebel, but he is part of a growing Republican-led movement pushing the federal government to hand over to the states millions of acres of western public lands, as well as their rich stores of coal, timber, and grazing grass. Quote, it's like having your hands on the lever of a modern-day Louisiana Purchase, end quote. And speaking for myself, can't you just feel the greed? That's a quote from Mr. Ivory, who founded the American Lands Council and until recently was its president. The Utah-based group is funded mostly by donations from county governments, but has received support from Americans for Prosperity, the group backed by the billionaire Koch brothers. Oh, yeah. Why are they not being shot? It's about billionaires. It's about the Koch brothers. It's about selling out every last bit of the commons to the super rich. Of course it is. Returning to the article, the idea which would radically reshape the West is one that resonates with the armed group of ranchers and anti-government activists who seized control of a wildlife refuge in Oregon more than a week ago. Ammon Bundy, the crew's leader and the scion of a Nevada ranching family steeped in disputes with the federal government, said he and his sympathizers had gone to Oregon to give the refuge back to local ranchers. And once again, speaking for myself, this is the Bundy family that owes millions in grazing fees and just wants to be able to do it for free. Because, you know, why should they pay taxation. They're white. Returning to the article, many conservatives, Mr. Ivory among them, criticize Mr. Bundy's gun-toting tactics, but their grievances and goals are nearly identical, and the outcry has grown amidst a dust storm of rural anger at President Obama's efforts to tighten regulations on fracking, air quality, small streams, and other environmental issues that put struggling western counties at odds with conservation advocates. In the past few years, lawmakers across the West have offered up dozens of bills and resolutions. And once again, I speak for myself. Remember, this is how the Koch brothers do it. They have the bills written out in advance with the American Legislative Exchange, I think it is, Council, ALEC, the subject of KBOO's Jenka Soderberg's research. They have them written up in advance. They take the legislatures out to fancy places. They wine and dine them. They let their kids ski on the mountain, and there's the bill. Sign it, sucker, and they do. But returning to the article, offered up dozens of bills and resolutions seeking to take over the federal lands inside their borders or study how to do so. Some of the legislation has been aimed at Congress to urge it to radically revise the laws that have shaped 550,000 square miles of national forests and terrain run by the Federal Bureau of Land Management, stretching from the Great Plains to the Pacific. The effort, derided by critics as a pipe dream that would put a priceless landscapes on the auction block, has achieved little so far. Utah is the only state to pass a law demanding that Washington hand over federal land to the state. That transfer never happened, so now Republicans on State Land Commission are pressing for a $14 million lawsuit to claim 31.2 million federal acres of canyon, scrub desert, and rolling mesas. The state's attorney general, a Republican, has said he is studying the case and will make a decision about whether to move forward. Now, that's a New York Times article by Jack Healy and Kirk Johnson, and I have read from perhaps a third of it, and there's more going on here. The latest news is that more white yahoos and trucks are showing up saying it's about God's will, but it's about billionaires. And it's a convenient time for billionaires to use the anxieties of uneducated white men who sense that without white supremacy and male supremacy, their plummet into poverty is likely to gain momentum. Because if you have to compete on an equal basis, and whoops, you didn't get that full education, that's kind of scary, isn't it? Better start screaming about rights. Gun rights. Second Amendment. As if the Second Amendment was not created to preserve white supremacy. Number to call with your comments and questions. 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Time is 9:11, 9:12, 12 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here in Cascadia, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. These people are talking about how God is sending them, and you should pay attention because you're living in Deseret. I don't know if you knew this. This is Deseret that you're standing on right now. Of course, I am being a little sarcastic. Deseret is the land that the Mormons intended to claim. It was going to be their nation. And that's a long and interesting story in the 19th century and going up to the present day. And when you hear that Republicans in Utah have been the ones pushing forward for this sort of land handover, well, there's that history that they intended to rule this land that you and I stand on right now. And of course, as I said before, when you talk about giving it back to the original owners, that would of course be Paiutes and other indigenous groups. So it is significant that the organizers of the effort in Malheur County are in fact fundamentalist oriented Mormons. And they make dog whistles to that effect when they issue wide communications. So 503-231-8187, and this is my analysis. I'm putting it out there that the reason these people have not been shot for taking rifles, for showing up at a federal property, stealing trucks, stealing land, stealing water, stealing electricity, stealing Caterpillar tractors, tearing down fences, is because they have powerful patrons. And yes, our world has become that Dickensian. 503-231-8187. And Brian is on the air.
Oh, hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Okay, I can't help thinking that if the shoe was on the other foot, if the Paiute people took a righteous stand to illustrate how ripped off they were by the same feds, they'd be immediately faced with a heavily, lethally armed force and end up with a kind of wounded knee three situations.
Wounded knee is the phrase, isn't it?
Yeah, and they'd likely be attacked by these same thugs. In fact, these kind of foreheads, villainous, low ignoramuses, remind me of nothing less, if you know anything about the situation, of nothing less than Dick Wilson's murderous FBI-backed goon squad that terrorized Pine Ridge and Oglala in the 1970s, and for which Leonard Peltier is still rotting in a supermax prison for defending his people. So that's my take on it. I mean, you know, justice in the USA seems to be very, very selective.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my take on it. So anyway, good on ya. See ya. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Brian. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And this is the hour of Brian, for there is another Brian on the air.
Well, this is the Irish Brian. That was the Scottish Brian.
All right, then.
So nothing against Scots at all, or the Irish. So listen, I just wanted to commend you on this you know, this whole broadcast and Joanne's before. And I'm glad you brought up the Mormon situation because it is heavily influenced by Salt Lake City there, you know, or the Mormon group, you know. And so I think one thing of note, and I mentioned this with Abe and Joe the other day, that about 2 years ago, it was either on NPR or Amy Goodman might have said it, but there was a public announcement that the Koch brothers were going to be putting money toward Oregon and Washington and several Northwest states to influence the political outcomes in these areas. And they announced it. You know, they said they were going to be funding political efforts to change, you know, politics in these areas.
They have been very, very active, and they have poured millions and millions of dollars for a very long time. Since at least 1976, the Koch brothers have been very active in politics. They have created a Byzantine and intentionally underwater operation. I mean, not visible operation.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you something, and not to just, you know, trounce on the Mormon, I think I'm trouncing on the culture more than the faith. But, you know, the bottom line goes like this. For many, many years, Brigham Young University has been a noted recruiting ground for the CIA and different government intelligence organizations.
A good distinction. I don't want to pile on Mormons who have been the subject of American xenophobia for their entire existence.
Absolutely.
The Mormon, I consider the Mormon religion to be absolutely bonkers, and it isn't one bit more bonkers than the traditional Christian religion.
Absolutely. You know, and being a Christian myself, you know, I can see how insane my religion has become, you know, and it's right up there. But, you know, the extremist Mormons, which unfortunately seem to be quite a number, you know, have just almost taken over the entire, you know, society there, but and have been holding court for a long time. But,
another important distinction, the LDS is not the FLDS.
Yeah, exactly. But when we recruit as a intelligence and our government goes and recruits primarily on Brigham Young University, it's a little scary because everybody's going to go back to their old allegiances, you know, and I'd like to hear more about that from, you know, on a deeper reporting level.
Thanks very much for your call.
You have a good one.
Number to call, 503-231-8187, and I am inviting your comments on my analysis of the situation in Malheur, which is, it's about white supremacy, yes. It's about Deseret, yes. And it's also most certainly about the billionaire Koch brothers and about the TPP. It's about handing over commonly held assets of every sort, and these happen to be held by the U.S. government. And it's about handing it over to the super rich, who, yes, are funding groups like this and have raised this so-called Sagebrush Rebellion. It's a grassroots, AstroTurf movement created by billionaire meddlers. And to be against the Y'all Qaeda gang as to be against the Koch brothers. 503-231-8187 with your call, with your comments and questions. In other news, Guatemalans are going hungry. This from Radio Havana, Cuba, facing a worsening malnutrition crisis. Guatemala may enter a public state of emergency. That's according to the Vice President Cabrera. The president has asked us to declare a public state of emergency, he said, in the health sector to address the people most in need. We know the country is going through a crisis, he said, and we want to start attending to it. Guatemala has one of the highest malnutrition rates in the world, about 55% in rural areas, 69% among indigenous peoples, 47% of children under 5, twice as high for indigenous children, according to the World Food Program and a state study on maternal health. And departing from that, from Radio Havana, speaking for myself, if you have read Open Veins of Latin America, you understand how this is done. If you have read Stephen Kinzer's book on Guatemala, you can understand how this is done. Guatemala is the original banana republic, and it is a banana republic because every effort by the people to organize democratically has been crushed by the U.S. CIA funding one dictator after another, making sure that that country is absolutely in desperate, disorganized, terrified, desperate conditions so that United Fruit Corporation, and yeah, that's Dole. That's your bananas. Making sure that super profits can be gained by the now dying banana industry. And the CIA is all about that and has been since 1954 in Guatemala. Returning to the article, Guatemalan President Jimmy Morales inaugurated last week has promised he will end chronic malnutrition within the next decade. And even that plan is seen as unrealistic by experts. Previous government set similar goals. So you can find that article at Radio Havana, Cuba. But if you do, of course, then you'll have on your browsing record that you pulled up Radio Havana, Cuba. And so that's why I encourage you to support KBOO Portland, where you can get a free app for your smartphone and where you can hear broadcasts like this. Did you know that last night we had the original Dr. Demento right here in the studio on the air for the second time because he was coming through town? And I remember Dr. Demento so well from, 40 years ago. And he was just as funny as ever. And just as challenging and a little squidgy in the stuff he was broadcasting. But that's what makes it really fun. This is KBOO Portland. Do you support us? I know that so many of you do. It's really amazing. And this is one of the assets that would be stripped away by TPP and by idiots who support billionaires to their own detriment, like the fools, in my opinion, and my scorching opinion, I suppose, who have taken over the Malheur Forest Reserve. And these people need to be removed. I am not going to advocate actual violence towards them, but it's time for the U.S. government to cop to the fact that they are not applying the same standard to them. And the reason they're not applying the same standard? Billionaires. Koch brothers. 503-231-8187. Also from Radio Havana, Cuba, in Iraq, security forces have been going door-to-door searching homes in areas of the capital in Baghdad. The capital, Baghdad, after three U.S. contractors went missing. Three U.S. citizens were reportedly kidnapped by militiamen from an apartment described by some Iraqi authorities as a brothel. And Radio Havana, Cuba reports, meanwhile, a new United Nations tally describes a staggering civilian death toll from violence in Iraq, with nearly 19,000 civilians killed just from the beginning of 2014 through October of last year. Sort of thing that you can find on Radio Havana, Cuba that you don't find elsewhere. And John is on the air. Hi, John. What's up?
Yeah, hey, just a quick reference. Google American Land Council. It'll support your Mormonistic thesis. Pretty interesting. Ken Ivory's the president, but it's worth a look.
Yes, and that was what I was referring to at the top of the hour, referencing a New York Times article to that effect. And so it's worth repeating that because that's the nature of radio, isn't it? The article is by Jack Healy and Kirk Johnson. It's on NewYorkTimes.com, and that's Ken Ivory, business lawyer from suburban Salt Lake City. And as I was saying, this is the Koch brothers gig. Thanks for calling. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And we have another John on the air. Hello, John. Oh, sorry, this is Eric.
Hello.
Hello, Eric.
If the authorities are acting abnormally as to handling the this takeover, well, why not find out what all their affiliations are? Every one of those, you know, everybody involved from the federal level to the county level, as to what their religion is, if they have any relations, if they're a member of ALEC, A-L-E-C, that American Legislative Executive Council, and put the pressure on them as to why they're not doing their job.
That's a good question. We have a KBOO reporter out there right now, and hopefully we'll be hearing back later today.
They need to put every one of those guys under a microscope and see why they're letting it go. But, you know, authorities act differently when it looks like their uncle or their nephew. You know, they treat white people differently because it kind of looks like their brother, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's can't knock brotherly love, can you? But why doesn't it apply to everyone? And why do we have a regime, a mass incarceration regime in this country in which our own brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and fellow citizens are thrown into jail for being people of color? And that's an assertion that I can back up in great detail. Hey, thanks for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And Randy's on the air.
Hi, yes. I've been following the story of the seditious campout also. From what I gather, the Koch brothers backed off. You know, they funded these folks early on, but they backed off from them for some reason. I think maybe they were a little bit too nutty for the Koch brothers, and the Koch brothers didn't feel like they were really getting the return on their investment they had hoped for. And so this move may be kind of a desperation move after, you know, getting that support yanked.
I don't give them that much credit, but go ahead.
Well, the other thing I would mention on this that I think is important is two things. One, keep in mind that Mormonism is the one group that has had probably the best organized armed conflict with federal government than any group except the Confederacy. I mean, if you look at the history of the Mormon militias, that's an important part of the history here. The other thing
There is an official Mormon church militia, and we saw them cloaked in white in Utah during September 12th, 2001. But go ahead.
Well, the other thing I think that's important to mention here is that the movement occupying the facility appears to have connections to a lot of federal and local government employees in the region. And I think one thing to keep in mind with all of this is that these folks are making a play for local support in the area. And I think that's really what we need to ask ourselves is, okay, what issues are there that are legitimate for that local community that maybe do need to be addressed so that these folks don't get a foothold as part of this? I think essentially their line is, well, if you gave us the land, then we could provide jobs for this local community on better terms.
Yeah, under capitalism, like that would work. Like they wouldn't get Walmarted out of existence like they are right
well,
now.
I'm just
hey,
saying,
thanks very much for your call. I have run out of time, and I'm sorry to cut you off. I have just about a minute left before I start the music here, and I did have one more item, which is pretty much my own analysis once again, and that would be, I invite you to look up global warming on a news search engine and pull up that map that's been shown that shows that the last year was the warmest ever by a long shot. 2015 is the worst ever. 2014 was pretty close. They're pretty sure it was the worst ever. Now, the preceding year is absolutely the worst. And when you look at that map, you'll see one blue spot amidst all those reds, which indicate that temperatures are that much higher. The blue spot is in the Atlantic, just south of Greenland, where the meltwater has been flowing. Now look at that map and then look this up, if you can remember it. Thermohaline collapse. Thermo like thermometer, haline like salt, thermohaline collapse. And consider that Washington, D.C. is about to be socked in by a couple of feet of snow. And I hope that you stay tuned because Per Fogering is in the hallway right now, and he's going to talk about the significance of the oil price collapse here on KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM on the great big Eiffel Tower transmitter on the West Hills and other frequencies in Cascadia and via the World Wide Web, where you can get a free app for your smartphone, whether Android or iPhone, at kboo.fm, because we transmit in that manner to all the ships at sea.
Yes, you're listening to KBOO, and this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Milagro Theater, whose new play, Broken Promises, by Olga Sanchez, addresses teen prostitution in Portland. To find out more, you can visit milagro.org. Well, coming up next, we've got Fight the Empire, and then in about a half hour, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Then at 10:15 today, Flashpoints with an interview with activist Morningstar of the International Treaty Council on her concerns about Native Indian burial sites and ancient artifacts at the wildlife refuge outside Burns. Also, violence in Haiti in the wake of tainted elections and massive protests, and an update from Michigan on the water poisoning disaster. At 11 today, join us for David Naiman speaking with Keith Lee Morris about his novel Traveler's Rest. And then at 11:40, it's a special Words and Pictures with the directors of the animated feature The Box Trolls, the third feature film from Oregon animation studio Leica Entertainment. That's all coming up right after Fight the Empire with host Per Fogering speaking with Michael Clare about his article, There Will Be Chaos, Big Oil's Collapse, and the Birth of a New World Order. Hey, thanks KBOO members for your support to keep KBOO on the air. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate today. KBOO.